All right. Well, the sermon I'll be reading today was written by Pastor Stephen Sheen from the Gregory Drive Alliance Church in Chatham, Ontario, and is simply titled Mother's Day. I invite you, we're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 28, so I invite you to turn there. But before we read, please join me in a prayer of illumination. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 28. The focus will be on verses 20 to 21, so please pay special attention to those. Now Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. On the way, he took the 12 aside and said to them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and on the third day he will be raised to life." Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You do not know what you are asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. One of the comics I used to love reading was Calvin and Hobbes. I remember one where Calvin was standing by his mother's bed on Mother's Day, and he said, "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." His mother was very pleased and started to read it out loud. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one's allowance is so small. So I guess you're plenty lucky I got you anything at all. Happy Mother's Day to you. There I said it, now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and cooking breakfast for your son?" Then he adds, "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" Today is Mother's Day. It was back in 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson, by an act of Congress, proclaimed that the second Sunday in May would be set aside for Mother's Day. He declared it as a day for the public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. It has been said that no nation is greater than its mothers, for they are the makers of the next generation. And I'd like to call your attention again to our text for this morning, Matthew 20, verse 20 and 21. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus about his kingdom. She was also very aware of the fact that her sons, James and John, were very close to him. Jesus had an inner circle: Peter, James, and John. Her sons made up two-thirds of that circle. Knowing how close Jesus was to her sons, she also wondered what would happen to them when Jesus established his kingdom. Perhaps she was there when Jesus told the story at the beginning of this chapter about the landowner who went out to find laborers for his field. The men hired first were paid the exact same as those who were hired last. Perhaps this had caused her to wonder, will my sons really have positions of authority in the new kingdom that Jesus will establish? When opportunity presented itself, she came to Jesus and bowed before him and made her request that her sons would sit in places of authority and honor. It would be easy to criticize Mrs. Zebedee for being so bold. We know from the story that Jesus tells her that her request is impossible, that it was the Father who determined who would be seated there. However, I think her request shows us three important truths that we need to remember. Number one, she wanted her kids to be part of the kingdom. Good and godly mothers want to see their children saved. They want to see them receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I think for most of us as parents, this is the most important thing we want for our kids. Yes, we want them to be happy in life, get good grades in school, and get married to someone who loves them. These are all good things. But I would rather have them go without any of these and be saved than have everything in the world except a relationship with Jesus. When we first moved to Kuwait, I was the youth pastor. I was the first youth pastor that church had ever had. So I had to develop the youth ministry from scratch. One of the obstacles I had were the parents. They felt that their kids should be taking classes instead of going to youth group on Thursday nights. And I remember having a conversation with one of the parents, and I asked them, would you rather have a child with an A-plus average who does not love Jesus, or a child with an A average who does? Ultimately, what is the most important? My grandfather, George Sheen, was the only son in his family. And on my dad's side of the family, my brother and I are the only Sheens that have children. And all of them have been girls. We know that the Sheen name will die with us. That does not bother me at all. I am much more concerned that my children bear their heavenly father's name than their earthly father's name. I am more concerned with passing on to them a heritage of faith than a name. Godly mothers want their kids to receive Jesus because they know it is the most important decision they will ever make. They understand Matthew 6, verse 33, that says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The single most important thing we'll ever do as parents is introduce our children to Jesus. I know that this may be a painful topic for some. I know that there are parents that are listening to me this morning who have children who are not walking with Jesus. And I know how much pain that brings to you. There are no guarantees in life. God has no grandchildren. Everyone needs to decide for themselves if they will follow or not. You can have the most godly parents in the world, but that is not a guarantee that your kids will also choose to follow Jesus. Sometimes they simply do not make the choices we wish that they would make. I heard the story of a mother who had a 3-year-old son and a 1-year-old daughter. The two kids were sitting on the couch watching TV together. The mom had to run into the kitchen for a minute, so she told her son to watch his sister while she was gone. As soon as she walked out of the room, she heard a thud and then crying. She came running back in and saw her daughter lying on the floor in tears. She asked her son what had happened. He said, "You told me to watch her." So I watched her. I watched her crawl over to the edge of the couch, and then I watched her fall onto the floor and start crying. I did exactly what you told me to do. Being a parent is not easy. It comes with a lot of joy, but also often times of deep sorrow. Sometimes your kids can make you so proud, and sometimes you just want to strangle them. Again, I like this comic from Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin walks by his mom and says, "Hi, it's me, your biggest accomplishment in life." And in the next panel, you see his mom sitting on the couch saying, "I'm depressed." Godly mothers want to see their kids receive Jesus as Savior. There is no higher joy than when this happens. If you are a mother today and you still have kids that have not done so yet, keep praying. No matter the situation, keep asking God to touch their hearts and draw them to Himself. Keep that hope fresh and alive within you. Number two, she wanted her kids to be participating in the kingdom. Secondly, not only did Mrs. Zebedee ask for her children to be part of the kingdom, but she wanted them to be actively involved in the work of His kingdom. It's not enough that we just want our kids to be saved. Churches are full of people content to just fill a pew on Sunday mornings. There are plenty of people willing to just sit back and receive a blessing, but seldom do they get involved in doing any of the real work of the church. So where does the spirit of service and excellence begin? It begins in the home, with parents setting the example and praying that their sons and daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom. It is parents serving as Sunday school teachers and youth group leaders and ushers. It is kids seeing how much the church means to their parents by seeing them practically and joyfully serving and not simply paying lip service to their faith on Sunday mornings. Billy Graham once said, "Children will invariably talk, eat, walk, think, respond, and act like their parents. Give them a target to shoot at. Give them a goal to work toward. Give them a pattern they can see clearly. And you give them something that gold and silver cannot buy." My very first job as a youth pastor was a difficult position. There were a lot of kids in the church with parents who claimed to be followers of Christ, but showed very little spiritual fruit in their lives. I remember I was once asked to come to the home of one of these parents. When I arrived, the parent brought out their two very uncomfortable teenagers and began to tell me how bad their kids were and that I needed to do something about it. This parent had little or nothing to do with the church. And I remember turning to the kids and saying, "I'm sorry for both of you that you are being forced to a standard that your parents are unwilling to keep. Set a good example for your kids. Don't be like the story of one family after a Sunday child dedication service. As the family was driving home from church after the dedication of their baby, little Johnny, the older brother, cried all the way home in the back seat of the car. His mother asked him 3 times what was wrong. And finally the boy replied, 'The pastor said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, but I want to stay with you guys.'" Godly parents set an example of faith and service for their kids. They model for them what the Christian life is supposed to look like. They want them not to just be a part of the kingdom, but participating in it. Mickey Mantle had long been considered one of the best baseball players to ever play the game. As great as he was on the field, he was a terrible husband and father. His life was marked by alcoholism and abuse. He died at 63 years old due to cirrhosis of the liver caused by drinking. Before he died, he was interviewed at a news conference after being inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame. He was asked at that interview if he knew he was a role model for so many kids. He said, "Me? I'm no role model. God gave me the ability to play baseball. God gave me everything. For the kids out there, don't be like me." What a sad testimony. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5 says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." We see the power of a godly example lived out in the life of Timothy. It was the life of his mother and grandmother that led him to receive Jesus and eventually come to an important place of service alongside Paul. This is the power of a godly example. Number three, she wanted her kids to be used powerfully in the kingdom. Mrs. Zebedee had big dreams for her kids, not only that they would be used in the kingdom and serving in the kingdom, she wanted them to reach their full potential. In any kingdom, there are no higher positions than those who sit on the right and left of the king himself. That is what she wanted for her kids. Not just that they would be believers and serving, but that they would have positions of importance, that they would make a difference. She didn't just ask for her children to be doorkeepers. She wanted them to be right up at the front. And before we're too harsh with Mrs. Zebedee for being brash and presumptuous, let us at least admire her for her boldness. Again, too often people have settled for mediocrity in the church. They simply seek a comfortable position that they can manage. Good parents want to see their children strive for excellence. They do not want them to settle for anything that is beneath their gifting and talent. An African proverb says, "In the eyes of every mother, in the eyes of its mother, every beetle is a gazelle." I love that picture, don't you? Every beetle a gazelle. You have this awkward-looking dung beetle, and to its mother, it's a graceful gazelle jumping through the tall grass. Godly mothers don't just want the bare minimum for their kids. They want what is best. You see this in the life of Hannah. She was barren, could not have children. She prayed, and God gave her a son. She called her son Samuel, which literally means, "God has heard me." In gratitude for the gift of that child, Hannah dedicated him to the Lord. This was more than just your usual dedication. She took him to the temple so that he could be raised serving the Lord. 1 Samuel 1:27 to 28. "I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is why we are so excited about the Bramella School of Discipleship that we are wanting to start this fall. We want to see youth get excited about Jesus and figure out God's call in their life. That does not mean that they will necessarily go into ministry, just that they will be disciples of Jesus and serve wherever he leads them. As doctors, lawyers, teachers, farmers, we want these kids to be dedicated to Jesus to reach their full potential. Mothers, have you given your kids to God? Have you dedicated them to him, recognizing that they are his and not yours? Are you desiring that they would grow and become everything God has for them? Being a mother is such an important role. I know it can oftentimes be discouraging. You get so stuck in the day-to-day routine of changing diapers, washing clothes, and making lunches that you forget what an important role you have. It reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his 4-year-old daughter. He got out the wedding album thinking that visuals would help and explained the entire wedding service to her. When he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. She pointed to a picture of the wedding party and asked, "Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us?" It can feel like that, right? You're just the hired help. Remember how important your job is today. You are shaping a life or lives, seeking that they would be saved, serving, and successful. What a calling. When Tony Campolo was on the faculty at the University of Pennsylvania, there were gatherings from time to time in which faculty members brought their spouses. Inevitably, some woman lawyer or sociologist would confront his wife with the question, "And what is it that you do, my dear?" His wife, who was the mother of 2 boys and one of the most brilliantly articulate individuals he knew, had a great response. "I am socializing 2 Homo sapiens in the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the teleographical prescribed utopia inherent with the estation." When she followed that with, "And what is it that you do?" The other person's a lawyer just wasn't that overpowering. It's not easy to be a mom. A mother was talking to an old college friend and said, "I remember before I was married, I had 3 theories about raising children. Now I have 3 children and no theories." Motherhood can be difficult and at times very discouraging. This Mother's Day, I want to say thank you to all the physical mothers and spiritual mothers out there, those who have sacrificed and served and prayed and loved. Thank you for modeling the love of Jesus to us. During the Second World War, millions of Jewish people were killed during the Holocaust. One story came from Solomon Rosenberg. He, his wife, and 2 sons, and his parents were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were simple. As long as you could do your work, you were permitted to live. When you became too weak to do your work, then you were exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father marched off to their deaths, and he knew that the next would be his youngest son, David. David had always been a frail child. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He finally found his oldest son, Joshua. Joshua was huddled in a corner, weeping and praying. He said, "Josh, tell me it's not true." Joshua turned to him and said, "It is true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to do his work. So they came for him." "But where is your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," he said, "when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." Mama said, "There's nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took his hand and went with him. That is motherhood. Mothers, this is your day. May God bless you in it. And I pray that if there is someone here who has never experienced the love of God that is so close to the love of a mother, that this will be your time of decision. I pray that if you have felt you have had to walk through the valley alone, that you will recognize that there is a hand reaching out to you saying, there is nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. And I pray that you will recognize that there is one who has already gone through the valley of the shadow for you and made it possible for you to live forever. He extends his loving invitation to you in much the same way that a mother opens the door and calls her children in. Jesus is calling for you. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. Today we celebrate the loving sacrifice of mothers, both biological and spiritual, who nurture us and guide us in your ways. Bless them with joy, strength, and love to continue their selfless devotion. Grant them the strength to face the daily challenges with courage and the wisdom to guide their children towards a faith or life of faith and service. Encourage them when they are weary and inspire them when they feel overwhelmed. May they feel deeply appreciated and honored, not just today, but every day. Amen.